welcome aboard our vessel. I'll be your captain. Join me and my trusty ally, the cook, as we set sail through our relationship with music, film, literature, and everything in between, as well as our ongoing exploration into mental health and well-being. Anchors up.
Mic check.
One, two.
Where are we, Captain?
Well, we seem to be in a very camouflage cave at the moment.
We'll have to take a photo when we
show. We should take a photo.
Listeners.
Yeah. It's our first proper on location.
Yes.
You know, we're in a studio, Cattaise Community Centre. Big thank you to Joel, who just showed us round, showed us the ropes. So, yeah, it's different, isn't it?
Well, we're here for the reason that we'll elucidate in a moment.
Elucidate.
That's a good word, isn't
Spell
it?
That.
I don't know. E-L-U-C-I-D-A-T-E?
Wrong. T-H-A-T.
Is it?
I said spell that.
I was thinking, elucidate. Anyway, we are out on location. We're very excited and we'll tell you why in a second. But firstly, as always, we do review our challenges.
We do.
So we set the same challenge, didn't we?
We did.
Find some Welsh music, wasn't it? Music. I did copy you, right? Yeah. So I was a cop out, really.
Oh, I'll do that. Yeah.
We were riding the wave of the big sesh.
We were.
We've given a lot of shout outs. We thought we'll try and find some songs for each other by Welsh bands, artists that we maybe not heard of. How did you find? I think I put a bit of an eclectic mix
you did,
in, didn't
yeah,
I?
Yeah. It was a nice little journey into your head. I think you do need some support. But I think, you know, they all stood out. But the one which really reached out to me was Gallops.
Yeah.
Like, it was just a... It just clicked, I think is the best way to put it for me. You know, they were all on in the background. You know, John Mouse was class, man. You know, you put Group Listening, Andy Bell. But Gallops was the one which I followed up.
And you remembered it.
And I remembered them, yeah. And I know, obviously, I did the same for you. You know, a different variety, should we say.
Definitely. I think, and thanks to Helena, is it?
Or Helen? Yeah, Helena.
Helena May, because fantastic. I mean, she's based out of Vienna now, isn't she? As you were telling me about this, but from West Wales originally. Mm-hmm. Love that. Funkalicious as well, which is a great name for the track. It summarised it perfectly. Gorky's Zygotic Monkey. Mm-hmm. Half Europe, probably not listened for a long time. But then the others, Rusty Shackle, you've talked about them for a long time, haven't you?
Yeah, I think they're ones, I know Charlotte really wants us to push to get them on.
Cool. Well, if you're listening, Rusty Shackle, we're coming for you.
Yeah.
And now we have studio, like we were.
Yeah, now we got a studio, yeah.
And given shout as well, Neck Deep, loved that. And I saw their vinyl in Diverse the other day.
Okay.
So it's in there.
And I've actually just noticed the last thing one of my mates listened to was Neck Deep.
Was it?
So, yeah.
And then the Beef Seeds as well. So, yeah, another good selection. But we're excited. We haven't interviewed a guest for a while, have we?
No.
So we're out of practice.
I don't know who our last guest was, but should we get him on?
Let's get him on. All right, so it's time to bring a new guest aboard. We are very excited to have Ellis from the band Schlug. How are you doing, man?
Yeah, good, lads. How are you?
Really good. We're in. We'll come out on location, I think you call it, like on location.
Yeah.
And then interest. We were just talking to you, and this is where some of your material's written, isn't it? So where are we, mate? And, you know, you wrote a bit of material here, didn't you, in the past?
Yeah, this is pretty much where we first started with Cattaise Community Centre. We're in the upstairs room now, which used to be, I don't know if it's actually still, but this is where the recording studio used to be. By the looks of it, it's just like army camo.
It's an army bunker.
It's a bunker now. I don't fucking know what this is. But the majority of all the stuff was written downstairs before pre-pandemic. Because we know a fellow who like co-runs the place, and he used to give it to us for like £1 an hour.
Did he?
Yeah, he was like, I think that's the most mate rate you could ever get.
Yeah.
So we would spend, as you can imagine, like I think our usual rehearsal would be like £2 per person, which is nothing, innit? Do you know what I mean? So yeah, the majority of all the stuff that you hear now is pretty much written within Cattaise, I'd say.
That's cool.
Yeah. We love video.
How important is this, though? You know what I mean? For upcoming bands, you know, we know, speaking of bands, money's always an issue. Do you know what I mean? Keeping it cheap, you know, to try and get your stuff out there until you can build yourselves up. But tell us about Schlug, man. How did Schlug come around?
Schlug started when I was in college. Yeah, so I just started college, and I just come out of two bands. So I was in a band before with Ethan. I've always been in bands with Ethan, who's the bass player. So I was in the first and second band that I've only ever been in. Second band being called Laundrette.
Okay.
And I was drumming, and kind of just had enough, and I kind of like played his part, and I was like, oh, I'll stop now. Mm-hmm. So then I didn't play or gig for about like 18 months. And then when I got into college, I was like, right, fucking enough's enough now, let's start cracking on. And that's where my Francis was in college. So I've known Ethan for years now. I think we were, I think he was 14, I was 15 or something like that. We go way back to the point we're playing like, what was the first ever song we did? I think it was Let's Dance by David Bowie.
Great song.
Yeah, yeah, but only three of us playing it, no drummer. So it was just bass, guitar, vocals, and another guitarist. And there's a video somewhere, and it is, it's as dreadful as it sounds. I'll have to find it, yeah. Someone's definitely got it, but it's fucking horrific. It's so bad. So we've known each other for years, and we met Francis in college. We did the same course together, me and Fran. And then I was just, I've always had these ideas which came out to be the first three singles, but it was never put down pen and paper, and I was like, oh, fuck it, let's just book a gig. Because if I book a gig, I've got something to work towards. So I booked a gig, I gave us something, I think it was about, I can't remember the amount, but it was between like 10 to 12 weeks
or
something like that. So it weren't too long. And then I said to them, those two boys, oh, do you fancy starting a band? They're like, oh yeah, go for it. I was like, oh good, because we got 12 weeks.
Wow.
So then I was, and they were like, oh right, come on then. So then we pretty much just spend every, as much as we can in the rehearsal rooms, nailing it down. And I think the first one might have been the Centre Roy Keane, to be honest, which more than likely would have been in that rehearsal room downstairs. And yeah, just kind of just like we stuck with it from there. It was going pretty well before pre-pandemic, and then obviously 2 years out or whatever, or however long it was. So just trying to get back up to where, to like the level we were in terms of the amount of gigs we were doing. And to be fair, I think we're like succeeding now. I think this is this weekend coming up now. I'm not sure when you guys put it out, but like this weekend coming up now, I think it's our first weekend of our gig for, like, I don't know, like, month and a half, two months maybe. Yeah, we've been going solid, and that's including midweek gigs as well. We've been going like solid river lately. Yeah. So yeah, that's a long winded version of how we met. But but that's pretty much, it was pretty much when we were younger, we all met one another.
Brilliant.
Like we've known Francis before, when we were in, me and Ethan were in other bands from the other place we used to rehearse, called Hawardian. I don't know if you guys are from Cardiff.
Old Hawardian High School. Yeah.
So we met in there, like when all like kind of went abandoned, they just started doing like community work in there, very similar to this.
Yeah.
And they did rehearsal rooms in there for like a quid an hour again.
Yeah, so that's a massive venue, wasn't it? Because I did training in there. Like,
yeah.
They had all the classrooms. Did they? It was really weird because you went into like, stepping back in time into like school for the 70s.
That's where my mother went high school.
Did she?
Yeah. And when she was like, oh, what are you doing tonight? And I was like 40, oh, I'm going rehearsing. And I said, where to? She just couldn't believe it, because I didn't realise how like derelict and sort of like abandoned was for like quite a long time, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Now it's like a primary school, isn't it?
Is it?
I don't know. I haven't been down there in a long time.
But it's great when they reuse those. We were talking about like the big set with that hotel, the history of that hotel, reuse it.
Mad venue, the atmosphere, really. Yeah, it was like, so strange being in there.
But you touched on like this, you picked out a couple on the like the top, and what you write about. So like you said, the ideas were floating around, and you have to sort of narrow them in.
Yeah.
And that piqued your attention, wasn't it, when you were looking into it a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, it's just when, you know, I had a look at the set of Roy Keane, and it was just that, for me, masculinity and anger is my work.
Yeah.
You know, that's sort of really what I'm interested in. So it's just find out, like, your thought process behind it, really, you know, is sort of developing the song and the themes. And
So with Slug, it was always based upon, I was fed up of being fed up.
Okay.
So, like, that was, like, the big thing. I was just fed up of being fed up. I was fed up of just waking up all the time, and just for, like, a short period of time of my life. Well, I say short period, but I reckon about between 2 and 3 years, I was always fed up of just kind of waking up, just being so fucking fed up of everything.
Yeah, yeah.
And just being so down and stuff like that. And we always channeled that in, what I always do anyway, channeled it into lyrics. Mm-hmm. So I think the first ever lyric we had for To Start Slug Off was something like, la da 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 da, does that make me a man? So then we would just bounce around the ideas of like just basically just like toxic masculinity, and obviously I think women at that time, we must have been like 18, 19. So like I'm assuming it was different for you guys when you were growing up, but I think we're coming through the generation now with toxic masculinity where boys are starting to become men, but starting at that point of time where you're changing, where you can actually talk about it. I'm assuming back it weren't like that like that back in your days. I say back, you know, you're fucking old, you know what I mean.
It's moving fast, isn't it?
Yeah, do you know what I mean? So I think I was part of that generation where it was moving towards like you can start talking about it more, but by talking about it was I wasn't at that time very good at talking about it. So it was always put down from pen to paper. So yeah, like that kind of thing of just kind of like first line and then coming underneath of Does That Make Me Man. We just kind of wanted to explore that. So I think we had like words like what was it? Like about the pissing on the seat and stuff like that. Yeah, like all these things are like tossing out.
It's really visual. You can see we've all done it.
So just like we kind of just based it around that, and then I can't remember who it was, but I said about I touched myself watching Sky Sports News. I touched myself watching Sky Sports News, and I think Ethan or Francis said you should add about like in the dark and stuff like that, and that's kind of like just where like the main bulk came from, and then it just kind of just like evolved from there, really.
It's clever. Clever lyrics, and I think cheers, it's like, you know, but like when you say about pissing on, some things that people don't talk about, but we all do it. So like when it's like mentioned in a song in a funny, it's like tongue in cheek, but it's still saying, does it make me a man stuck with
it? It's almost I did all my research projects in uni on masculinity and masculinity and stuff, so but it's interesting, like you're saying, like almost the shameful part of being a man, is that what makes me a man?
Yeah,
you know, like the whole touching myself in the dark watching Sky Sports News.
You don't
go out and brag to your mates about that, but is that what I need to do to be a man?
To fit in, isn't it?
But also, you know, I love it, just a lot of blokes don't know how to talk. You know, I don't, like you're saying, you learn it, like, you know, I know I need to talk, but what do I do? How do I do it? And through, you know, I find through lyrics, through movement, through,
I agree,
you know, a lot of, especially when we look you know, even historically, at some of the people we focused on, that's how they express their feelings.
I agree, man.
I mean, your performance, full stop, you know, you can see just the rawness that comes out. You know, when you're performing in front of everyone.
I was going to touch on that, actually, because what do you tap into, man? Because, like, you're such a chill guy. I was talking to you before, again, you were quite, like, observant of the other bands. You got here early, didn't you? You were watching and then, like, building. Do you go through a mental process of, like, right, we're on stage, off we go?
Not really. No. I think I used to get myself worked up so much about it. And like, I think I do for the bigger, every performance is a big performance, but I think for like, I haven't got myself like built up, like really like ready for pre-pandemic. I did. That's when I was just drinking loads, and I think that just doesn't help with it. But no, post-pandemic, not really, just kind of, because it's just kind of, it's just second nature now. So now we just kind of go upstairs. I know I've got a half hour to say what I want to say, and I say to the boys, let's leave a stage fucking messy, and let's leave it a mess, and let's make sure that we've given everything we've got for a half hour. And I think, to be fair, I don't think it's always something we've always made sure we do. And that's like a big thing for me, making sure that I've got, like you said, I'm not really like outspoken and things like that. I kind of just keep myself to myself, and sometimes when I don't want to be sociable, I'll make sure I'm not sociable. But then whenever I need half hour like that, that's my release, that's all I need sometimes, and I'll be alright then. Do you know what I mean?
We see it come through in the performance. You talk a lot about movement, don't you? And you know, but it's that like release, and like you said, I suppose, does that feel quite like cathartic, almost like therapeutic, and your mind's like, well, I've got a gig Saturday and the frustrating week is going to come out on Saturday, like on the, you know, way to challenge it.
I don't think I see it as a build up. I think maybe subconsciously I know it's there, but I don't think like, oh, I'm having a shit week, I can't wait for Saturday. I think it's just subconsciously there. Do you know what I mean? I always obviously look forward to the gigs, but it's not looking forward to it in a way of, oh, I can release. I know it's my release anyway. Do you know what I mean? So like, yeah, so it's always there, because we're gigging like so frequently, because we're gigging so constantly now, and that release is always there. So I think that's why, probably touching back onto it, and maybe that's why I was so frustrated in the start, because they weren't there.
That's true.
Do you know what I mean? Because it was there from the first gig when I was 16, and it was so constant that maybe when I had that stop, maybe that's what the way the change came from. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and it's noticing, like you said, when you were younger, you had it up and coming out, but as soon as it's taken away, that's when you realise it's important. Some ways of actually, oh shit, that's what it was doing for me. You know, that's what I was getting from it. So like you said, it's now almost second nature. You know, it's like, well, I know this is what I do, and I know afterwards this is how I feel doing it.
And the pandemic was interesting, wasn't it, as well, because a lot of people had to introspect, and they had to spend a lot of time in their own heads, you know, going through different things. Yeah. And then when we've come out, I think, like we talked about on a couple of the pods previous about how important it is what you just said about being almost antisocial at times to look after yourself.
Yeah.
We asked each other the question before. Would you, asked me and members, like, so do you prefer to care for others when it or care for yourself? Yeah. I think I naturally care for others, but I actually answered care for myself because I hadn't been looking after myself enough. And then you notice a deterioration.
Yeah.
So sometimes you need to unplug.
Yeah.
You will just tell me, I'm coming off my phone for a bit. If you need me, ring, because my watch will go off, but I've turned everything else off and I need to step away.
Yeah.
Because life's hard, man, isn't it? Like at times, you know, you need to give yourself that mental break.
Just a recharge sometimes, isn't it? Do you know what I mean?
Definitely, man.
Yeah.
Self-hate portrait. Right, so if your plays are going up on Spotify, that's me, right?
Class.
It sounds, all your songs sound epic. There's something just crisp about that song. Like it just, I don't know what it is from the way it kicks in. How did that come about? Because self-hate portrait, it's a great like name for a start, but how did that come about?
Well, it's funny about the name. We wanted that to be the EP name.
Was it?
Yeah, yeah. So pre-pandemic, when we actually just post-pandemic, when we signed with Disobedient Records, in our head was release a single and then maybe do a three-track EP or just do like a three-track vinyl or something like that, and that's what we wanted to call it.
Yeah.
And it just didn't work out that way, but the self-hate portrait is just something that's... like our titles of all our tracks is something that we do always like vigorously think about. When I just remember I don't know where it came from actually, but it was just always something that was like in the back of my mind. I always had a vision of how I wanted it to look, like the artwork and stuff. I think I had the artwork before.
Did you?
I had like the thing in my head of what I wanted it to look like then before I wanted it to sound visually.
Got you.
Before what I wanted it to sound, obviously through audio, but we knew we wanted it to be that wall of sound because it's all just about the, basically just like the anxieties and the self-hate. Obviously, everyone in this world has, but it's just kind of just like talking about it in a way of controlling it.
Yeah.
I suppose. Basically, just being more self-aware. That's what it was for me, being more self-aware what was wrong with me and knowing that, right, this is wrong with me, just acknowledge it, own up to it, so when I can look in the mirror I can be alright, instead of obviously not wanting to see a mirror at times.
Yeah,
and that's sort of like you said, control, you know, it's a lot of actually understanding, okay, what do I have control over, because with stuff I found like self-hate or when I'm working with people they'll get frustrated by things and it's like, well, actually, is that in your control? You know, they'll be like, oh, the weather's doing this to me. It's like, well, you haven't got control of the weather, but you have got control of whether you go outside or not, or whether you do this or not, you know, and it's really noticing and that's sort of building up, then taking control of, you know, say for example, anxiety.
Yeah.
It's like, well, I want to go to the shop, but I don't know whether it's going to be busy. However, I know that at midnight it won't be busy, so I won't get anxious. So I'll take the control, you know, and go out and do it that way.
I think with the anxiety for me before, is that I was like masking it with mainly booze.
So when it was
drinking a lot, I wouldn't have to worry about it because it just wasn't there.
Yeah.
But then once you come off it, then it hits you like a fucking truck, and that's where I was like, right, enough stuff. And then that's why now I take like sporadic breaks in between from like drinking stuff, because I know that if I go back from drinking every day heavy, that it's just gonna ruin me, because it fucking did at one point.
It's a common one, isn't it? And we've talked about, we notice we hold each other to account. That's through the podcast, keeping each other going, but also outside of it as well, isn't it? And saying, noticing things.
Yeah,
I notice. Well, I'm the same, mate. I can look back on a week and go, God, I've had a drink six nights this week, and I had two heavy ones on the weekend because we went to a concert or we did something.
Yeah,
but you're right. At the time, it's like, well, it's a complete escape, isn't it? But again, it's that control element. If you recognise it, like you are,
because
you've been through it. We do it, mate, don't we? Quite a lot.
Yeah, and it, you know, it's like you said, almost going back to the masculinity in that side. If you go into a pub and say, "Oh, lads, I'm just going to have a lemonade today," it's actually quite a big thing to say.
Yeah.
To then take all the banter that comes.
Yeah.
And you've got to be quite grounded and sure of yourself. Say, no.
Yeah.
I'm having a lemonade. I'm not going to fall in now 6 pints with you.
Yeah. To be fair, there was never a time I think I would ever go to a bar and order lemonade. It was either if I'm going to a pub or a bar, it's only I'm going there for that.
Okay. So stay away from the environment.
Taking control.
Taking control of,
no, I know if I go there, this is how
that's a bad environment for me at this time.
And that'll knock the rest of my week off.
So, literally, yeah.
You talked about obviously wall of sound, creation of music and stuff like that. So who's we were talking about Aronson before, we shouted them out before, but what's your soundboard, mate? Who do you look to? Who inspires you?
I think it's a mixture.
Yeah.
So for me, the big one is probably Show Me the Body. I don't know if you're aware of them.
No.
Show Me the Body are massive for us. Especially when, like, the set of songs we got now, the nine or whatever it is we got now, that was pretty much inspired heavily by Show Me the Body.
Cool.
But then throughout the like creation of them, like the late, the latter songs we started adding into the set, I would go with the second album of Fontaine's DC for me. I think.
Now you're talking to the right person.
Yeah, I didn't even realise what you were wearing.
I got a t-shirt on.
I am. Yeah. Oh, I am a massive Fontaine's fan. Yeah. Their first album was great, don't get me wrong, but our second album, just still to this day, just blows me to I love it. Obviously, Idols, I'm just covered in Idols
tattoos.
Loads, I think Brutalism, when I first heard it, it just like changed my life.
Yeah.
Brutalism's like one of the best albums for me. For Francis, I don't know why, Rush. He's like the biggest Rush fan.
Is he? Fair play.
I don't think I've ever heard a Rush song, you know.
Hello.
I've been in this band with him for like 3 or 4 years now, he's never played me a Rush song. But when we travel to Wrexham next week, I'm going to make sure he puts like a Rush album on so we get into it. Yeah. Like, he loves like all like prog sort of stuff. For Ethan's taste is just mental. He loves everything and anything. He's so good. Yeah,
he looks like a lot of fun, mind Ethan. Like
Ethan is an absolute diamond.
Yeah.
Considering we've been together for 14, 15 years in different bands, you'd think he'd be get fed up with me now, but no, he doesn't. I love him. I love him to pieces.
He's on the mad search now, and you for the music to add it all in. You know, the Fontaine's was interesting, and Bryn's gonna roll his eyes, but the first album was that proper, we got something to say, let's bang the songs out, quick indie, like in your face, you know, jump around songs. But the flip on Hero's Death, wasn't it, was just like, as a weird, that I don't expect it, I thought they'd follow up with more of the same.
Yeah.
But you knew from the first song, it's like, you know, I don't belong to anyone.
As soon as
you hear that, you're like,
the whole album was so dark, I thought. Well, especially the first, you know, on a vinyl, you have the A and B side.
The
A side of the set of them, the Hero's Death, was so dark.
Yeah.
It was just insanely. I just want to say, because I didn't say, I love you too, Francis. So I know you'd moan if I didn't.
We're not like just, I was talking to Francis' dad at the big sesh.
Big Russ. Big Russie.
Taking photographs of you, and. He was just...
He ain't seen us in a while since that gig.
Hasn't he?
No, I don't know why. I think probably because of COVID, he was... I think they were all still a bit wary, which is fair enough. But when he had all his boosters and stuff, that was his first gig back.
Ah.
And then he came up to us. Because considering that was his first gig back, that must have been... We must have done... between 15 and 20 before that.
Yeah.
And then he was just like, fucking hell. He was like, you've taken that up a level since pandemic. I was like, I've told you.
But it was
I told you to get down.
I told you for ages, I've been trying to catch you. And it just, I remember the one night actually, you were playing in Cardiff as part of the Fringe Festival. And I was seeing, I messaged you about it because I was going to see Idols in the Motor Point. Like, as soon as I saw you on the big session, like, I'm going to that one. Like, he's in the town. But what, you know, great venue, the ballroom and stuff as well. But yeah, Russ was, it was interesting talking to parents, you know, and he was so proud of you. Like,
he's a legend, Russ. He's a lovely guy, to be fair, yeah.
So, that's cool. And obviously, it's good to hear the influence. I'm with you on the Brutalism stuff as well. I think Idols made it okay to be a vulnerable, because that's another thing for you, is a vulnerable masculinity as well. Suppressed masculinity is a big topic for you as well. So bringing that forward is important, isn't it?
Yeah. And that's what you said, like the toxic masculinity has always been.
It's always
like
there. It's never going away.
No, it's never going away. And it's sort of, it's what I find always interesting. Like, you know, I say to people, for example, if I was single now, if I went to a bar, I'd be afraid to speak to someone because of the impact of the toxic masculinity of, what are you doing? Talk to me like that. Why are you going that way? But it is also just, you know, as we said, sort of new generation looking to change it, really pushing to change it. And I encourage it as much as possible. But it's also looking at supporting the older generation to learn how to do it.
To learn how to change.
To really get rid of just the toxicity, you know, which comes with it. And just
do you ever think that could like be achieved, though, with the older generation? Do you ever think they could change to like when I say the older generation, I reckon between like 40 and 60, because I think they could potentially change. But I think when you go higher to like 60 and
it's
70
harder.
I don't think
they're very set in their ways, and it's also, I mean, I hark back to you know, switch a bit, but talking about suicide. So a lot of people, if you hear, they still say the word committed suicide. Yeah. And that changed in 1961. Yet it's still used because suicide isn't a crime, so it should be took their own life. So
what was it changed to?
It's just, it was, so suicide until 61 was a crime. So it was illegal to take your own life. So that's why the word committed is used a lot. And then, you know, still today I ran training this week and somebody was using that phrase, and it's a chance to educate and say, actually, it's take your own life. But then if you think there's people in there, you know, from 40 up who've always used that word.
Yeah.
So trying to change their opinion of it, the same as masculinity, trying to change their opinion of how you're meant to react.
Yeah.
You know, you might chip away at it, but it's very much going to be from under 40s upwards that will probably start to make the difference.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
It's tough, isn't it? Because you're right. And if I sit with my grandparents, you just straight away think you're on a losing battle. They're reading The Sun. You know, you're sat there going...
That's so true, isn't it?
Daily Mail appears.
Yeah. I go and sit in the green, you know, in the conservatory for a cup of tea.
Yeah.
The sun's on my bam's lap. He's literally regurgitating it word for word. Mm. You know, and that's the power of press over people as well, and public opinion. But what I think has happened, which is really exciting, is probably what you were touching on earlier, Ellis, is around, there's a lot more awareness. There's a generation coming through now. Because I think if you look at like post-punk and all of that that's happening at the minute, they call it that. Now, I know it's a lot broader than that for people, but if you want to badge it under that.
Yeah.
When you go to gigs, it just seems more, like the gigs I've gone to, people are a bit more aware, you know, not pushing women around, you know what I mean? They're like, just taking away. It's all right to go nuts. It's all right. We talk a lot about moves. It's all right to let loose.
Yeah.
Have your awareness of your surroundings, who's around you, do you know what I mean? And don't ruin someone else's night.
Yeah.
You know, that's come just as excited as you to see this band.
Yeah.
And then they're going to walk away going, it was ruined because that tosser in there was jumping and pushing me around and all of that, and I didn't feel comfortable.
Yeah.
I think that's called out a lot more now. And I think there's an initiative on like safe gigs for women and things like that, which someone I know is involved with. And they'll pitch up at gigs, could be any old random gig.
Yeah.
Set up a stall and talk to people about it in the run up to the gig. You know, I was at the gig before, you see a bloke going up to it going, what can I do? You know, like a young man. He's like, well, you know, just take care of your space, talk to people, you know what I mean, and make sure you're not ruining other people's night. It's quite simple, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Just go and have a good time.
Yeah.
But, you know, make sure you take everyone with you and everyone's included and involved. So
I agree.
You've got a lot on, like you said, at the moment as well, in terms of gigging. So you're up to the Wrexham Festival then, are you? Is that
Focus, yeah. Focus Wales on... So week to, what day are we on? Friday, mate.
It's Friday
so,
today.
Yeah, so a week tomorrow, so the 7th we're up there.
Cool.
So it's our first time going up there as a band. I haven't been before, but Francis drums in like Red Telephone and other bands.
Oh, Red Telephone, he's in that, is he?
He drums in, he's like their session drummer, if you want to call it, something like that.
Yeah.
So he drums in, so I think he played like 4 sets with him last year or something like that.
Wow.
So he went last year, so he told me how like incredible it's up there. So I'm buzzing to be
a
bit.
That'd be a good one.
We had a nice surprise being asked to do that, and an even better surprise staying to headline the stage that we were on.
Wow,
so
that's good.
So I'm well happy with that. I joked on our Instagram before, it was saying, I don't know how we're going to keep Ethan sober until 11:40 at night when we play.
Yeah, you said that.
Late tonight. I was like, I don't think I can be sober tonight. Yeah. I was like, I've never played that long.
What you need to do, get him to start early and make him stop at like 9 o'clock and give him a bit of time.
Oh, that's not happening. That's a challenge in itself. Oh, no, this could be good fun. But then on the following day, then on the Sunday, we're straight back down into Bristol.
Yeah.
So gig in Bristol there. And then a couple of weeks off until the headline then.
That's really cool. I was just going to say about, we were talking about it when we just now, 20th of May?
20th of May.
Day headline, before my anniversary. My wife doesn't know yet, but that's where we're going for our anniversary.
Awesome. That's my anniversary gift.
She has to go. Yeah.
Oh, no, she's... Her and my wife can stay together and
we'll come to the anniversary. Well, we can all go.
Yeah,
we can all go. But upstairs Tiny Rebel, I think, isn't it?
Upstairs Tiny Rebel,
that's been used a lot more now, isn't it?
It's always been a good venue, but I think during a pandemic they put a new lighting rig in it.
Okay.
And then I'm assuming they put a new sound as well at the same time. Because I think one of our first, I think the first kind of gig back was supporting Bandicoot in there when they did a... I think it was just a gig. I don't know if it was a single or anything, but they did a gig up there, and the sound up there now is insane.
It's good,
so good. Cool. And the lighting's always been good, but they've just updated it to like a proper full-on lighting rig.
Oh, wow.
So when we played there, we were speaking to the fellas who pretty much put all the gigs on there, Tone Deaf Creation. I always forget, is it Creatures or Creations? I can't remember.
Deaf Creatures, I think.
Deaf Creatures, yeah.
I see it as Creatures on your...
Yeah. Oh, Richard's going to fucking kill me for that.
Corrected you on it.
Literally, yeah. So, yeah, is it Tom Creatures? There we go.
Yeah.
Sorry, Rich.
Yeah. Look, he knows who you are. He'll be there. He'll smash it. Don't worry about it. But you've got Blue Amber playing with you on that as well. We're just talking another really cool...
Yeah.
You
they're going to be opening up for us, yeah.
It's going to be brilliant.
And then Dan Ham. I don't think you guys have... Have you guys heard of Dan Ham? Imagine... Baxter Dury, but more but more drunk.
Really?
He's awesome. He's so good. He's been a mate of ours for a while, and I've always liked his spoken word. Because we were originally going to have him do spoken word, before, and then we're kind of like walk on to a spoken word.
Good idea.
Because we had someone else's... We had someone else in mind for main support, but that fell through. And we were like, oh, do you want to just do the, his full set? Because we went to catch him in Porters not too long ago. And he just genuinely blew me away.
Did he?
He's so good, yeah. He hasn't got much out, I don't think. I think like a couple of things here and there, like Spotify and Bandcamp. But live, he's
good, is he?
Awesome, yeah. Like some members, some Club Fuzz are in there.
Club Fuzz, yeah. Picked up on them recently, actually.
Yeah, Club Fuzz
really
are brilliant,
good.
Yeah.
Really good, actually. Yeah,
so some of the members of Club Fuzz step in and play for him and stuff like that. So Dan Am's going to be incredible. I'm so excited to see
Get there early.
Honestly, get there early, especially for Blue Amber, because, like I said, Blue Amber just... I was saying to you off before we mic'd up and stuff, when I saw him in Sun Festival, they were just outstanding.
So
good.
And it's good to have that. It's a different sound to yours. Do you know what I mean? And it's good to have that. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's just different sound. Yeah, like as you come on, it's like, you know, don't mind me saying, it's a full throttle. Do you know what I mean? And it's, you're straight into it. Like, and I'm, you know, straight there with you. Do you know what I mean? Like, and that energy. But it's good to test the crowd a bit. No, this is who we like.
Yeah.
Come and have a try, you know what I mean? Come and listen to this. And then you learn something new, you find something new, don't you? You know what I mean?
With our supporters, we always try to make sure we keep, like, for our headlines, we've always wanted to be, because it's our first one, we've always, like, envisioned it being always as diverse as possible.
Yeah.
We wanted, we don't know what we're going to do yet, but we want to do something creative with the space. Because I don't know if you guys have been up into that room.
Not for a long time.
So kind of, they shut off the one door. Yeah. So you walk up and then like you pay like pay your ticket and stuff, and then you turn a corner and there's a bar straight away. So you've got like a bar room there, and then obviously around that bar then is where you walk in and then like the way the gig will take place. Yeah. So we want to do something creative with that space as well. So we don't know what yet, but we're thinking of it, and yeah, we do. That was like our main priority was do some creative, keep a diverse lineup and stuff. Because originally, I love Graham.
I
wanted Raz Kid on them.
But he
couldn't make it. So so next time we'll get Raz Kid.
That's what, like you said, it's sort of the way in and doing something with that area before you go right in.
Yeah,
so it's like you're transitioning into a different world.
Yeah,
it's almost like your own gateway into. This is what I'm going into now. This is, and you like almost influence the experience they have from the off them.
Yeah.
As soon as you step through the door, if there's, as a dancers in the middle, you know, has someone having like a little rave, you're like, oh, this is the atmosphere I'm going into, and then you go in and it's like, bang, that's what it is.
Yeah.
And that's, I love that sort of transition.
We said about Aronson.
Yeah, I basically planned their whole set.
Yeah, he said, wouldn't it be good if you like lie down? Like, Bryn was like, it'd be good if you go to a gig and lie on some beanbags for that.
You said it on the podcast, didn't you? Yeah.
You know, and you can make it so immersive, you know, that's stuff that you remember then as well.
I think Blue Amber do that. So I wouldn't be surprised if they do that. Allowing, because I think there's a projector there, so I wouldn't be surprised if they do.
Ah, that's cool. Yeah. Well, like I said, we're super excited. The last thing I'll ask you about is music as well. So, what's the scheduling? I know you said you've got like 9 songs that you go through in your set as well, haven't you? And like we can use
there, they're about
roughly three. So, have you got a time frame in mind you're working towards? Albums, EPs, what's on the agenda?
So, end of June, back in the studio in Rat Trap Studios, which is run by Tom Rees from Buzzard.
Yeah.
So that's who we did our last 3 singles with.
Cool.
So we'll be back in with Tom. So that's exciting. I'm not sure if I'm allowed to say yet, but something else is getting announced soon with our releases. But that's something that we work very hard towards. I'm very excited for that. So that's gonna be really fucking good. And to be fair, I think the person who's like responsible for it might be announcing it soon.
Cool.
So within the next week or two, I'd imagine.
That's a note, man.
Yeah. But
also,
that'll be out.
All of your links are in our description. So if people want to find out, get onto your Instagram.
Yeah.
Follow, and find everything out that
definitely
way as well.
Yeah.
So I think we're going to just take a short break. We did ask you to bring us a challenge.
I've actually got two. I've got one for each person.
Okay. Perfect. We'll have a deal break and we'll come back.
internet guide.
Okay, cool. So, yeah, this is where we have the joys of challenges. They get set for us. Listeners get to have a go. You know, if you want to, keep them coming in, apart from QE. I did meet him, and he didn't give us a challenge, which was
good.
Really good. I think we still got about six of his to do.
Yeah.
But we've handed the reins over now, so we're very unprepared. This is going to be a very authentic yeah. reaction. Where, Ellis, I believe you've got not just one, but a challenge for each of us
yeah.
to do.
So, beforehand, one's reading, one's listening. So who wants to take the listening?
I need to learn to listen better, I think. So
I need to learn to read.
There we go.
There you go.
Right, we touched upon it earlier, but especially when it comes with my writing, the with vocal takes and with vocal melody, I'm a terrible singer. But I love the ideas of, especially in grime, how they flow from one verse to the next. Okay. So I'm going to set you the challenge of listening to Maester Great, My Side of the Bridge. Maester Great is someone from Cardiff yes. who I absolutely love. I'm pretty sure all his stuff was produced on this EP, either by himself or by a good friend of ours called Minas, okay. who's another artist from Cardiff who's great. But yeah, My Side of the Bridge, just nice and easy to listen to My Side of the Bridge.
In full.
In full. From track to track as well. Is honestly fucking sick. Okay. It's so, so good.
I could do that.
Yeah, yeah. And then reading.
Yep.
Within the new material we're writing, mm-hmm. I'm loving the idea of kind of going down the more poetry route. So like with me, I've always been someone who listens to more of the lyrics and lyricism more than the music. Okay. So I take big pride and big responsibility when it comes to writing the lyrics. Mm. So I read something the other day, and I pretty much read it either every other night, or I'm either thinking about it every day, because it's always stuck with me. It's a short story called The Dress okay. by Dylan Thomas. Oh. So we're keeping it Welsh.
Yep.
Yep, yeah, keeping it Welsh.
Yeah.
Some of the imagery in there. There's a bit about it, about the moon. I won't give it away, but there's a bit about the moon and how it's kind of caving over a mountain. Like that bit in itself is just, it's just God tier. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Okay. You picked up a God.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can see myself there with a coffee looking at Tumbarlam. So I got a view of a mountain.
Oh, nice.
So
do
I
it.
I might do that. Yeah. And it's interesting you said about poetry, because that was your birthday gift to me was a collective yeah. poems by Till Lindemann.
Nice.
100 poems that he used, which are interesting.
We do explore. I know yeah. you've just jumped on board with the pod, but as you go back, we mess around with that stuff. So
okay.
We had an idea before doing a short story where I write a chapter, read it out in the pod.
Yeah.
He's got a week to write the next one. So we finished it, didn't we, recently?
Yeah.
We've written poetry, and we do
haikus.
Even try. So that's it.
It's really
timely, man. And I suppose when you look at Maester the Great as well, I haven't listened to it yet, but have you heard about it?
Some of the flows on it. Mate, some of the flows on it are ridiculous. They're so good.
Challenges more often.
I know.
There was a food one, but it's up to you, everyone taking
it
back. But you can guys do a collective if you want. One of the biggest things lately for me is Freddie King. I can't stop listening to Freddie King.
Okay.
I think it's from the 50s, 60s, that kind of era. One tied second of now my favourite album ever is My Feelings for the Blues by Freddie King. So it was a tie up between that
Chucking
and Maester. It was a tie up between that and Maester Gray, and I couldn't decide, but I went with Maester just because it's unbelievable. But
we'll fit Freddie King.
If you got time, My Feelings for the Blues by Freddie King.
Yeah.
There's some parts of it which are just stunning. Absolutely stunning.
So you can do that, mate?
I think we can do that.
Cool. Thanks, man. Nice
That's
one.
All right,
thanks
no problem.
Seagull. Corner.
Do you always look at me? Stop looking at me.
The listeners can't. Let's go back to back. Seagull Corner. So we thought we'd have a little chat about Record Store Day, just gone by. I got Bryn out of bed by convincing him that it actually opened at 8 o'clock.
You
so
did.
How do you feel about that?
Oh, it's wonderful. Best day of my life. Stinking hangover. I'm going to listen to you waffle on.
You have to talk about Shakespeare.
I can't wait to get this street
challenge. Oh, Shakespeare. You got a chance to talk about Shakespeare,
right?
No, we queued up, got some records. What did you get?
I got the Joni Mitchell Blue Highlights.
You did?
Yeah, and what did you get?
I got the Streets.
So it was the anniversary. Sarah Slam let me open it.
No, I know. You've been a bad boy.
I've been a naughty boy. And then we went home. We watched a bit of cricket.
We did.
Shout out to your neighbour.
To Mike. Yeah. We watched Mike play cricket. Mike play hit cricket. Some balls.
And we sat with John, balls. Is it?
Yeah, sat with John, yeah. The club legend, John.
Club legend. I think you called him like the godfather of the Grove.
He's the cul-de-sac. He's our godfather. And then we went into town again. We caught the bus.
We got the bus. That was nice, wasn't it? And we scratched the scratch can off.
Should have had a tin on there. Fit right in. And yeah, so we went to the record store day, almost like music festival, really, wasn't it? The pub.
Yeah. Put on by the pub. And loads of crazy. It was free again. We had 2 weeks in a row and we have free events. So fair play. Newport does seem to be on a bit of the rise. I know the pub have done loads of work for years, you know, but some great acts. And I think we'll just shout out to them. So we saw Pseudo Cool, which I think was headed by a brother and sister, wasn't it? They were fab.
They kicked it off, didn't they? They kicked it off for us.
Yeah. They were in there first. So we thoroughly enjoyed seeing them. They were definitely stand up. Pigeon Wigs caught us off guard.
They were fun. Yeah.
They caught us off guard.
We went downstairs and watched them and they were, as we said, like almost like funky Beatles. Did they do a Beatles cover?
It sounded I don't know if it was like a mashup or something. But it sounded very Beatlesy, didn't it? Like,
I'm very approachable, very easy to talk to.
We did have a chat with them, didn't we?
Shout out to those guys. We bumped into Morgan from Aronson as well. I was wearing the t-shirt.
So that was a fun photo, didn't we? And we'd shared with Aronson earlier in the day. Oh look, we have got the t-shirts and we're wearing them. So he drums for the Eurekas as well, who were playing indoor at the pub. So they had a stage indoor, they had a stage outdoor. We went to McCann's, we didn't realise that was there, did we? Nope, that's where Pigeon Wigs were.
What a venue downstairs. Yeah. But then before, there was Roves. So the Roves.
Yep, they were good.
They played as well. And then
Breichiau Here.
Yeah.
So Welsh language band. How would you just, like, have you met? Rattle Rock, wouldn't it? It was a heavy rock band. Real good fun. Again, we chatted to the lead singer after, and he was really approachable again. And I saw Beth there because I think you had to shoot.
I left you to your own devices then, yeah.
Which was dangerous.
It was dangerous.
We saw Gav.
Oh, we did. We saw Gav.
Shout out to Gav. I saw John Mouse. John Mouse, fab. Just fun pop. Get on that electro pop again if you want to have a listen to anything. Yeah, I just mentioned Beth Eurekas, who Morgan from Aronson drums for as well. You know, another great band. So. You know, it's great to see this stuff going on, isn't it?
Yeah, and the amount of gigs the pub have as well. You know, so get yourself down there. We'll be down there quite often, I reckon.
Again, the lesser spotted cook photo opportunities,
exactly,
isn't it?
Yeah. We'll let you know when we're going so you can avoid us.
End of a fab episode, I think. A huge thank you to Ellis, huge thank you to Cates Community Centre for letting
so
us
really welcoming, and a nice cafe there as well,
really nice
vegan
cafe. We had a coffee and a
it was a really soft Polish bread sort of thing.
Really good, but thanks Ellis, and again open, honest, wasn't he great to talk to, really approachable. It's fair to say they've got a lot of exciting things coming.
They have,
so, as Captain said earlier, he's done a great job on the bio trying to keep up with everything Ellis is saying, because Ellis is just like, you know, he's into a lot of stuff, but that's how you discover things, is it? So dive in the bio,
listen to all the albums, you know, the songs, everything.
And we had a t-shirt winner.
We did have a t-shirt winner. It went to the public vote. Yeah.
And Lisa, and she messaged saying she never wins anything.
I know.
Didn't she? So Lisa Mew.
Yeah, we're sorry.
Yeah. Sorry that you had to advertise our pod
to win. Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, let us know if you want it signed, because I will sign it.
Actually, let us know if you don't want to sign.
Because I'll put the pen down.
But yeah, no, fab. And again, thank you. That's all our merch done.
It is.
We've given out all our merch till next time.
For now, till next time. Next time. And I think, you know, it's no tough. I didn't say it in the intro, but it is your birthday. So.
It's actually going out on my birthday, isn't it? I just realised.
It is. This is going out on your birthday, so I should be excited.
But I'm not.
No, not really. But yeah, happy 40th. I did buy you something. I put it in the noisiest paper. Well, I said put it in the noisiest paper. It came in a bag and I just put sellotape on it.
Did you?
So it's nice and noisy for you. But yeah, just happy birthday from myself and Mrs. Captain, shall we say. Mainly from the cat, though.
Mainly from the captain. Cat this, she's not getting any credit for this, is she?
No, she can have all the credit.
Can she?
Yeah,
oh,
why not?
Play.
Yeah, but that's what you don't think is crap. Now that's a problem.
Oh my goodness. Wow. I didn't know this existed.
Tell people what it is before.
Sorry. I forgot we're dealing in audio here and we're not visuals. Like, yeah. So this is a really great gift. So, and it actually links to an episode of ours.
It is an episode. Very clever. That's the only reason I got it, so we can have a shout back.
So George Orwell, 1984, the graphic novel.
Yeah.
I never even knew that existed.
Nope. It was a little bookshop in Padstow.
Wow, was it? When you went down for the thing?
Yeah, well, I bought the book which I lent to Nora, which she still hasn't given back to me.
Oh, yeah, it's on his shelf.
Yeah, cool.
We have read it as well, so that you can get it back. But I will have a dive into this. That's fantastic. Yeah. Thank you
Merry
very
Birthmas.
Much.
Merry Birthmas.
Okay. Yeah. So that's it. We're not going to do any content. It's in the bio.
It's in the bio. Yeah,
go in there, find us.
Yeah, and send the cook lots of birthday cards.
He's dropped the mic. I think that's a good time to say it's a trough from me.
It's a trough from him.